Luke chapter 19. I want to bring four scriptures to your attention this morning, and the message is, Till He Come. Last week it was Long Live the King. We found out the King was alive. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And this King went back to be with his Father. And let's see one of the reasons as to why he went back and what the end of the matter will be. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Now, for the sake of time, a portion that we're all familiar with, the Lord Jesus took bread, he broke it, he said, This do in remembrance of me. He took the cup, he gave thanks, he said, This drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul says, For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, John chapter 21. Simon Peter has just been restored. And when he gets through talking to him, he said, Follow me. Verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And who can tell me the last time that Jesus said, Till I come? There's one more reference where Christ himself personally says, Till I come. So you turn to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. He's speaking to the church at Thyatira. And verse 19, he says, I know thy works, and thy love, and faith, and ministry, and patience, and that thy last works are more than the first. But I have this against thee, that thou allowest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto each one of you according to your works. But to you I say, to the rest of you that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we rejoice in the words of reproof and rebuke that thy Son gives. We remember what he said to Peter when he was restoring his soul. But they were words of reproof and rebuke for the purpose of restoring his soul. But we are thankful for the other words that come from the lips of thy Son, even to those who have failed him, those words assuring them that in spite of their failure, he's going to come back and take them to be forever with himself in heaven. We thank you for this, our God. We pray that our lives may have before us constantly the hope of coming of thy Son, our Savior. And now thou dost know the importance of the words that we have read, spoken by thy Son and his choice servant. So, Father, bring these words home to our hearts, we pray. You know that thy Spirit must work, or else all shall be in vain, and unless you empower lips, they shall be but mere words. So grant those things for us, and you promised if we confess our sins, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and so we confess our sins. Bless us this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Who can tell me the last thing that Jesus Christ said in the Bible? He said, "Behold, I come quickly." That is the last thing the Lord Jesus said. That's remarkable that our Savior spoke these words to those who at one time had lost all hope. Those two on the road to Emmaus, they were conversing with the Lord Jesus, who was alive from the dead. They did not know that they were talking to the risen Savior. And they said, "We had hoped that this was He who should redeem Israel." And the Savior said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe." What happens is that at times, people who have great hopes and expectations, because of something that occurs in their lives, they do not understand that this is something that occurs. It's not the end of the promises that God makes. It is simply something that upsets us, that we fail to understand, that causes us to lose hope. And we say, "We hope that this was He." Well, whether you hope or lose hope, He's still going to redeem Israel. But what happens is this, that in spite of the promises that cannot fail, if hope that was once burning brightly in our hearts, if hope is gone, it doesn't mean that hope shall never be realized, but it means that we shall go downhearted the way that Cleopas and his companion did on the road to Emmaus. And so for that reason, the Lord Jesus constantly is telling his disciples that he is going to come again. And I think of it this way. I could join in with the words of Cleopas, who said, "We hope that this was He who should redeem Israel." If the Savior told me when he was hanging on a cross next to me, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now that takes a lot of faith. I'm going to be with you today in paradise. But do you know when the thief realized that what Christ said to him was true? That day, when he was with him in paradise. You say then, the promises of Christ can only be confessed and acknowledged as true when they come to pass. Yes. But you can live in the enjoyment of them before that day. The thief had the hope before he died that that very day when he died, he was going to be in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope would sustain him, would enable him to testify to his fellow thief concerning the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have no hope, then you will curse and rail on the Lord Jesus and say to him, "Thou that savest others, save thyself, come down from the cross." Or, "Are you not the Christ? Save thyself and us." Now, I can sympathize with people who hear a man make a promise, and they do not know if he's able to keep that promise. But think of this now. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples again and again that he was going to come to them. He said, I will not leave you orphan. I come to you. He said, now you have sorrow. I will see you again, and your sorrow will be turned into joy, and no man taketh your joy from me. All of those things are good. But then the Lord Jesus dies. And so how do I know that these promises that he made that sustained me while he was with me and alive, how do I know that they are true? You know that they are true because he who said, I will see you again, after being separated from them 3 days, rose from the dead and saw them again. That is what sustains you. Now, the second time that the Lord Jesus says, I will see you again, I'm coming again, then that statement is on a different level in the thinking of men than the first statement that he makes. If the Lord talks about today thou shalt be with me in paradise, and he himself is going to die, and I know nothing about the resurrection, well, it takes great faith to believe that. But it does not take great faith to believe this, that if the Lord Jesus, who said, I will see you again, and he died and rose again, and the third day appeared and said, here I am. Then, the next time he said, I will see you again, it does not take the same kind of faith, because I've seen him escape the power of death and come and fulfill his promise. Well, if he could escape the power of death and fulfill his promise, what is more powerful than death? You say nothing. Well, he's already overcome the last enemy, the most powerful enemy that none have ever overcome apart from the intervening power of God. And so the Lord Jesus said before he died and rose, I'm coming again. And the Lord Jesus said after he rose from the dead, I am coming again. So the difference is this. You say, I have hope that he shall be able to fulfill his promise, but I'm not certain. That is before he died and rose. But now that he has died and risen, and he tells us, I'm going to come again, does it take much faith? You say, not at all. The only thing that I have to deal with now is the long interval that has transpired between the promise that he made and the fulfillment of that promise. Reason this way. He said, I'm going to see you again. And they were separated from him 3 days. But he rose from the dead and he saw them again. Why not, instead of waiting 3 days, show them immediately after he died that he was alive? Because it was God's will for him to be dead for 3 days and 3 nights and be buried. That is why. And why, if the Lord Jesus said, I come again, why must I wait 2,000 years to have that promise fulfilled? Because it's God's will that we wait that long. And the fact that he delayed 3 days before they saw him again does not mean that his promise was not fulfilled. You say, then an intervening of 3 days does not cancel out the promise. No, nor an intervening of 2,000 years or 10,000 years. He who made the promise the first time and kept it even, escaping the power of death, the same one who made that promise, who is the truth, who has the keys of death and hell, is going to fulfill that promise again. And he said it after he rose from the dead, as well as before he rose from the dead. You say, then it is simply a matter of waiting his time. Of course. It's like I told you last week. Whether you want Jesus to be king or not makes absolutely no difference to God. He's going to reign. The only difference it makes is this. Whether you will enjoy his reign or whether, as king, he says, depart from me. He's going to be king. And in like manner, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is going to come again. And the only difference it makes to you is this. If you live in the hope of that coming, every man that hath his hope upon him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Every man that has this hope upon him, this man goes back and enters into life with joy and with assurance and with a certainty that no matter how long we have to wait, Jesus Christ speaks the truth. And he's able to fulfill his promise, and he is going to fulfill his promise. And the Lord Jesus spoke only of his coming, and his coming alone, the only uncertainty about it was this. Not if he were coming, but when he was coming. That's why I tell you this. It's not, is Jesus going to come? It is, when is Jesus going to come? Now listen, he said it three times. He said it in Luke 19, personally. He took 10 pounds and gave one each to 10 of his servants, and he said, occupy till I come. In John chapter 21, when Peter wanted to know, what about this disciple of yours? The Savior said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. And to the church at Thyatira, that was filled with corruption, the Lord Jesus said, hold fast that which thou hast till I come. So, two of the promises of the Lord Jesus to come again, two of the usages of these words, till I come, were spoken after he had been raised from the dead, and the words have a new meaning, a more gripping certainty, word of assurance to the disciples who heard them. Why? Because he had already overcome the only obstacle that could keep a man who is truth from fulfilling his promise. He had overcome death, and therefore after he had overcome death, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? If I've heard a man who dies say he's going to come, and he rises from the dead and he comes, if he says anything else about coming again, I'm going to believe that man. And the Lord Jesus has said, alive from the dead, he said, I'm coming again. And the Lord Jesus said to those saints in the church at Thyatira, till I come. And the last thing he said to the church in the book of Revelation is, I come quickly. Therefore, if you and I go through life without the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we shall be like Cleopas walking down that road with sorrow, with dejection, with all hope gone. But if our heart believes the words of the Lord Jesus, then we shall lift up our eyes and we shall believe what the two men in white garments said to the disciples as they watched the Lord Jesus go into heaven. He said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen going to heaven shall so come again in like manner. And so angels had said it. Jesus has said it. And all we have to do is to discover the will of God for our lives till he come. And I've already read you the will of God. Till he come for your life. I was looking at a magazine written by Orthodox Jews, not Christian believers, Orthodox Jews, and it had this question. Some of the things answered this question. Some of the things that we are to do till the Messiah comes. And it said, you can go and plant a garden, or you can go and build a fence, or you can go and fish in a lake, just telling you things with which to occupy your time till the Messiah came. They do not know that the Messiah came, and that there was done unto him whatsoever man would. But at least, they are thinking through life and saying, what should a man do until the Messiah comes? Because that is the age. That is the new age that is going to come. The only age. What happens is this. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gives us eternal life. And now he says, I'm coming again. And what I want to know is this, well, what am I to do until you come? And the Lord Jesus tells us in the portions that we have read and the one that I quoted to you, what we are to do till he comes. He takes 10 pounds and he calls 10 of his servants and he gives them a pound each. And he says, occupy, trade with these pounds till I come. So, we are to serve the Lord till he comes. Service till he comes. The Lord Jesus took the bread, the fruit of the vine, broke the bread, passed the cup, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul tells us how long it's to carry on. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So what else am I to do? Am I to be serving the Lord all the time? The Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And so I am to be remembering the Lord Jesus till he come. And in Revelation 2, when so many in the church at Thyatira were following the teachings and seductions of that woman Jezebel, the Lord Jesus said, you who are faithful, I'm not going to put upon you any other burden. He said, nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. So that steadfastness, can you remember those things? You say, we are to trade, we are to occupy, to do business with the things of God till the Lord Jesus comes. Yes. And we are to break the bread and drink the cup. We are to remember the Lord Jesus till he come. Yes. And we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of the Lord till he come. Yes. And what else? In John chapter 21, Peter said, what about this man? He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And he had told him previously, do you love me? Well, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. That is enough to keep you occupied for the rest of your life. Some of you weren't here to remember the Lord this morning. Why? He told you to. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Why weren't you here? The Lord has given you a pound. He has given you things of spiritual value that belong to him. He's placed them in your hands, and he says, now occupy, trade with these things till I come. What have you gained spiritually last week by trading with the things that Christ has given you? And all of you who are constantly hearing the world and false doctrine trying to take out of your grasp the precious truths that you've held for so many years, and even evangelicals telling you that the things that you believed were not so important, that which was sacred, and the sanctification that should go along with Christian living, that isn't important anymore. It's like being in the church at Thyatira. The Lord Jesus says, don't let them take those things away from you. He says, you hold them fast till I come, and you follow me till I come. And do not be like Simon Peter, who followed the Lord Jesus afar off. Because if you follow him afar off, then not only will your feet go astray, but soon your lips will go astray. And you'll say, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know the man. And you'll swear and curse that you don't know who Jesus is. Because you did not do what the Savior told you to do until he came. So I'm thinking this. If I'm busy serving the Lord, if I'm busy remembering the Lord, if I'm busy holding fast the things he's committed unto my care, and if I am filled with the hope of his coming again, then there's not going to be much time to get into trouble, is there? And our lives are going to be fruitful, and you'll have nothing to look back on with regret. Now, this past week, how much time has been frittered away? How many lost opportunities have gone by the board? And how many of us the Savior who said, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." And he would say, now, "With desire have I desired to eat this Lord's Supper with you." We've missed another Lord's Supper. All of these things, the responsibilities that the Savior has laid upon us. And what have we done with them? He said, "I only want you to maintain them till I come." So it means this, that for 3 days, he said, "You have to be without me. You'll see me again." And after 3 days, he saw them. They were days of sorrow and hopelessness and despair. But after those 3 days, they saw the Lord Jesus. And now, the church has been waiting for some 2,000 years for the return of the Savior. He hasn't come yet. Because he didn't come those 3 days, did it mean he wasn't coming? You say, no. The 3 days were the days that God had in his calendar that Christ was to be dead. Yes. And to be raised the third day. When Mary and Martha said, "He whom thou lovest is sick," they wanted the Lord Jesus to come. They said he stayed where he was 4 days. It took him 4 days after he received the message to get to where Lazarus was. And when he got there, Lazarus was dead and his body had begun to stink. Now why didn't he come 4 days earlier? Because the Lord Jesus said, "I'm glad I wasn't there, that you might believe." So if it's 3 days and Christ is dead, if it's 4 days where you send up a prayer and let Christ know that you want him to come and save your brother, and your brother dies, it's not that Christ doesn't know, that he doesn't have feelings. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But God has things in his calendar. 3 days, 4 days, and this calendar has been 2,000 years. But because he didn't come the 3 days, is he not coming? You say, no. And because he didn't come the 4 days, does that mean he's not coming? No. And because he hasn't come for 2,000 years, does that mean he can't come? You say, no. If he hadn't been raised from the dead, I might have believed it. But he was raised from the dead. So, you just must accept by faith words such as these. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." There is a reason behind it all, that God wants his gospel to go to the ends of the earth, and he wants his church to be complete. You say, "I see." So though I want the Lord to come, if it means that souls are going to be saved, some of my loved ones that aren't saved yet, if his staying away means they shall be saved, then I'm glad he stayed away. Of course, but we have to accept these things by faith. And so until the Lord fulfills his promise, and it's not if he will fulfill it, it is when he will fulfill it, then we should be doing the things that he told us until he comes. He has given all of us a responsibility to serve him. The word pragmatics, have you ever heard it before? It's the root meaning of this word that's translated in the King James, "occupy till I come." The same root word is used in this verse of Scripture. It says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life." That's the word affairs. And so God says, get involved in the affairs, not of this life, but in my affairs. This is my property. This pound is mine. These talents I give you, they are mine. He says, get involved in the affairs of the Christian life. Strange, isn't it? We know what it is to occupy, to trade, to do business in this life. But that's what it says about soldiers. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Would to God we could be entangled in the affairs of that life. When he gives us the pound to go out and be entangled in spiritual affairs. And if we are entangled in them, in that coming day, it says, when the Lord cometh, occupy till I come. It says, when the Lord came back again. You see, he's already told you prophetically he's going to come back. He says, what did you do with that pound I gave you? And some of them say, 10 pounds more. well done. He says, you've been faithful in a little. Now, be over 10 cities. Another man said, 5 pounds more. Congratulations. Other man said, no increase. What are you going to say? What have you done in service for God? Can you give Christ back more than he gave you when you trusted him as Savior? Salvation is free, but reward is dependent upon your service for the Savior. And if you have nothing to give, you're going to have that which you have taken away from you. If you've given him 10 pounds back, he'll give you a commensurate reward for the 10 pounds that you've earned. For the 5, a commensurate reward for the 5 pounds. If you give him nothing for increase, he will take back what he gave you at first. Not only so, but the Savior in heaven comes to earth when we remember him. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, we'll apply it to the Lord's Supper. There am I in the midst. You want to know where the Lord Jesus was this morning? From 9:30 to 10:30? Why, he was here. Where were you? The Savior said, this do in remembrance of me. And as oft as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. I'm proclaiming the Lord's death now audibly with my lips. But we portray it in the bread and the wine. We proclaim it, show it in a way that all can see till he comes. And this, all of us who have been so faithful over the years, learning these truths, holding on to these truths, the Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to place upon you any greater burden. He says, nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till you come. He said concerning the church at Thyatira to the faithful ones, he said, I know thy works, and I know thy faith, and I know thy love, and I know thy ministry, and I know thy patience. He said, hold on to these things. Hold fast till I come. And that is what the Savior wants us to do. Not to let go of any promise that he's given us, any truth that he's given us. Let us buy the truth and sell it not. And so when the Lord comes, this is the question that fills his heart. It's not a question of his coming, but this is the question that our Savior asked. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Son of Man is coming. Shall he find faith in you? Be faithful till he come. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you have shown us in the weakness of our faith, in our hope that is all gone concerning the things that Christ said to our fellow believers so long ago. Our Father, we confess with shame that the light burns dim and the joy gets ever so low, but we pray that thy Spirit shall cause these things to become strong in our hearts. Let not the love of the many wax cold, but let our love grow strong, and the things that he said concerning a few faithful ones in Thyatira, may they be true concerning us. We are working for the Lord. We have faith and love and ministry, and also we have patience. And he says, hold fast till I come. So let us be holding fast to these things, maintaining this attitude and this fullness of hope till the Lord Jesus come. Work in all our hearts, and let us not be empty-handed when you come, Lord Jesus. And let us be filled with faith and trust, saying, you waited long, our Savior, but you did come. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.